Luke chapter 13, starting at verse 6. I'm reading from the King James, and I'll refer sometimes to the ESV, which I have here on my phone. I know your pew Bibles are NIV, but it's all God's Word. Right. Read along with me silently as I read aloud from Luke 13, verses 6 through 9. It says, "And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." Let us pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you on this morning. We give you the glory and honor that's due your name. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who died for us. And we thank you, Lord, for your word on this morning. This is your word, and we realize and recognize that every time we open our Bible, you open your mouth, Lord. So we pray this morning that we would not just read your word, but we would hear your voice. Lord, let Marco sit down and let your Holy Spirit stand up right now and speak a word into the hearing of these your people. This is your Bible. These are your people. I'm your man for this moment. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If I had to give this morning's message a title, it would be Living on Borrowed Time. All right. And for a subtitle, I would say, Planted for a Purpose. Planted for a Purpose. As Deacon Rouse got up this morning to start devotion, he talked about purpose. And here in this morning's message, we see a vineyard, and we see a particular seed that was planted for a purpose. And so as we look at three short points I want to share with you, as we look at verse 6, the first thing we see in dealing with purpose is the inspection of your purpose. See, it says here that a certain man had a fig tree. It was a fig tree that was planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. And so, as we inspect the fig tree, and this fig tree represents our lives. Here this man planted a fig tree, and he planted a fig tree. He was expecting that fig tree to bear fruit that we know of as fig. Now, he didn't go to the fig tree looking for oranges. He didn't go to the fig tree looking for apples or pears or bananas or any other type of fruit. That fig tree was planted to bear figs. But when the Lord of the vineyard went to inspect the tree looking for figs, the word of God says he found none. Didn't say he found withered figs, didn't say he found young figs that hadn't matured, didn't say he found overripe figs that had rotted. He found none. Church, I beg if you would labor with me here, and as I think about the
the Bible study lessons we've been going through the past few weeks, talking about being a church member and being a part of the body. As I think about today's message and I look at the inspection of the purpose, I would challenge you and say to you today that every one of us here have been planted for a purpose. Yeah. We've been planted for a purpose. I don't know what your purpose is. I know the purpose that God has given me, but He has planted each and every one of us for a purpose. At a very young age, God called me to preach His gospel message. As a matter of fact, it was exactly 30 years ago, third Sunday, August 1988, when I was licensed to preach. And I know that the purpose God placed me on this earth is to preach and teach His word. And I know, you know, as I think about this, I remember having a conversation with somebody earlier this week. I won't call his name to protect the innocent, but he was talking, we were talking about something here dealing with maintenance in the church, and he was trying to tell me, oh, you could go do this and do that, and he said, if you got on the phone, I could have talked you through it. And I said, that's not my purpose. I asked him, now I serve here as the office manager. I said, go over there, get on that computer, and I'm going to tell you what I need you to do. He looked at me. He just looked at me. I said, no. Listen at me. Go over there, get on the computer, and I'm going to tell you, I want you to type something. He wouldn't even go touch the computer. I'm going to tell you everything you need to do. The point I'm making here is he wasn't called to do administration work. That's not his purpose. Now, he's somebody who's mechanically inclined, and the thing it would have took me 2 hours to do, even while he was on the phone trying to talk me through it, it took him 10 minutes to do. And the same way, if he had got on that computer, I could have talked to him, and it would have took him 2 hours to do that simple task, it would took me 10 minutes. See, that's because we would have been out of our purpose. And a lot of times, we find ourselves here as members of the body, not knowing our purpose. The fig tree was planted to bear figs. The fig tree wasn't struggling to try to produce oranges. The fig tree wasn't struggling to try to produce apples. The fig tree wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. So as we inspect the purpose, let us look a little further in the text as we read the very next verse. It says, then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard. See, God has his vineyard here on earth. And he has dressers, and he has those he has assigned as tenders of the vineyard. So cut it down. Cut it down. It's taking up space. Look. I ain't making this up. I don't want y'all to think I'm making up. I will say this, black print on white paper, but in my Bible it's red print. So that means Jesus is speaking. Yeah. Jesus. Matter of fact, if you go back to the first verse, we'll see that Jesus is teaching, and he had just taught about sin and repentance. And here we see the Lord of the vineyard, he's inspected the purpose. Here we see his infuriation for not fulfilling your purpose. He is infuriated. He's not just a little upset. He's infuriated to the point where he said, cut it down. I done come here 3 years. This ain't my first time. Not my second time. But my third year in a row. Look. 3 years. The tree's had time to grow up. He a new babe in Christ. He ain't producing no fruit. Give him a little time to mature. No. 3 years. 3 years. In other words, what the Lord of the vineyard is saying, either grow or go. Grow or go. He's not producing any fruit. I have two summations of why the tree may not be producing fruit. The first is conversion. Conversion, yeah, that word conversion means to be transformed, means to come into a relationship with the master. That tree had not been converted. It had not been properly planted. It had not been properly planted. See, when a tree is properly planted, it comes into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is converted. First it is convicted, then it becomes convinced. It's convicted of the sin. See, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some of us just don't realize we've sinned. Some of us think we got it going on. Some of us think, now I just told you, if you read verses 1 through 5, Jesus was talking to them about repentance. And some thought they were a little bit, y'all looking at me a little crazy, so I'm going to read it for you. It says, there were present at that season, now we're talking about trees and how this relates. So here he's talking to people. And then he begins to teach a parable because he was in an agrarian society. They understood trees and they understood agriculture. And so here it says in verse 1, it says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? Well, they were sinners. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Then he immediately goes and begins teaching them a parable. He's talking to men. He ain't just giving a story about a fig tree. He's talking about repentance. First, we have to be converted. See, a lot of times we in the church, but we're not really part of the body. We here. We going along to get along. We know the language. We know how to speak Christianese with the best of them. If I say God is good, what you say? And all the time, God is, see, y'all know how to speak Christianese. Y'all know the language. Y'all hear it right on cue. And a lot of times we have folk that have been in church all their lives and they hadn't been converted. So the first thing we have to do as we inspect our purpose and make sure that the master is not infuriated with us for not fulfilling our purpose is we have to make sure we're converted. It's okay if you've been in church for a while and then you come to the realization that maybe I haven't done business with God and truly been converted. That's all right. That's all right, because God has kept you around and not allowed you to die in your sin that you wouldn't miss heaven. And you're wondering why you're struggling, striving, and not producing fruit because you're not converted. The other thing I would say is you may not be connected. Maybe you've been converted. Maybe you connected at the root. See if the tree isn't properly planted, it's not gonna have the roots. It's just top heavy. It looks good, dresses up good. Sunday go to meeting clothes down to a t-shirt. Can get down in the Sunday morning fashion show with the best of them, but not connected. See. They come, they get the feel good and they get pumped up. It's like the sports car that goes to the gas station and fills up and then it speeds up. But eventually that car's gonna run out of gas. See, if the sports car would learn a lesson from the street car. Anybody ever been to San Francisco or New Orleans or one of these places where they have the street cars running down the middle of the road? And if you look up at the top of the streetcar, there's an arm coming up from the streetcar. The streetcar, and there's an arm coming up there, and there's electric wires running across. The streetcar is connected to the power source. The streetcar never has to stop at the gas station. Why? Because it's connected to the power source. The power is coming through the arm. And I would ask you this morning, if you're not converted, and even if you are converted, are you connected? Are you connected to the power source? It said that this landowner went seeking. That word seeking denotes passion. It didn't say he just happened upon. Now, Jesus and the disciples in another parable were walking along and they happened upon a fig tree. When Jesus saw the fig tree, he said, oh, it's a fig tree. One day any fruit on it. He didn't find any fruit on it. He cursed the fig tree. When they came back that evening and passed by that fig tree had withered away. But here Jesus is talking about a fig tree that has been planted with a purpose. That fig tree there was growing wild. This fig tree had been planted with a purpose. It was a part of someone's vineyard. When you are planted with a purpose, there are several things that we have to look for. There are demands. And as we're learning in our Bible study lesson, we're studying the book, I'm a Church Member. We're learning that a functioning church member, God places demands on us. And the number one demand that we've talked about for these past 2-3 weeks is love. Yeah. Is love. How do people know we're different from the world? By the love that we have one from another. It demands love. And if we don't know how to display love, then we have to learn how to develop love in order that we might display it. See, God sometimes will take us like we used to do. See, now I take a picture of y'all and I can show it to you instantly and I can text it and email it out to people. But there was a time, you young folk don't know nothing about this. If you under 30 or 40 years old, you probably never knew this. But we used to have to take pictures. And it didn't matter if you had just wanted one or two pictures. If there was 12 pictures in that roll, you would have to snap and snap and snap until that thing got to the end. God forbid you had one of them 24 or 36 rolls, and you just keep on snapping. And then you would have to take that and drop it in a little envelope and take it down to the drugstore down there to Revco or Eggie. Y'all don't even know what Revco is. That's what used to be CVS. Take it down there, and you drop it in the envelope, and then you have to wait. You have to wait for a week or two for them to develop the negative. See, right now what's going on in your life might look like a negative, but God is developing the negative. You might be going through something right now, but God is developing the negative. He is taking the trials, the temptations, all the struggles you're going through, and he's using that to develop the negative. Wait, you making that up. That don't fit there. No, let me read something to you. Just in case you think it don't fit. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 said he had to intercede for the purpose. We're going to move into our next point. He inspected the purpose. He was infuriated for the unfulfillment of the purpose. But then the vine dresser did an intercession for the purpose. He said, Lord, let it alone this year. Till I shall dig about it and dung it. In other words, I need to put some crap on it. I need to fertilize it. Y'all know what they use for fertilizer, right? I ain't making that. Y'all, anybody ever been on a farm? Anybody ever walked around? Some of you may have garden. You use, might use compost. That's old rotten, nasty fruits and vegetables and vegetation that you just had out there in that barrel, and you turn that barrel every so often, and it just rot. And then you put that in the garden. It don't smell good. And when you can have gloves on, it don't matter. It feel nasty in your hand. It's old yucky stuff. My great-grandfather's 170 acres of land over on Hilton Head, and I remember I wasn't excited about getting out of school in the summer here in Savannah, because when we got out of school for the summer, we were going to the country. Me, my brothers, my sisters, my cousins, they didn't have migrant workers to come in and harvest the crops and do all of that. They had grand and great-grand. And I tell you, I picked everything but cotton. And I after we were done picking it, and he would begin to get the soil ready for the next season. And as he was out there plowing the soil, he would come behind all the horse crap and the cow dung and all of that that he had collected up. We'd go out there, we would spread net to help fertilize the ground. So here he is. He said, hold on, let me dig around it and dung it. It needs to be fertilized. So God is throwing crap in your life and it all seems negative. But as I was sharing earlier, he was developing the negative. And after a week or two, you would get a phone call on a landline. Y'all don't know nothing about that either. On a landline. And then you could go and see the picture. You can now, the pictures are ready to be displayed. See, God sometimes has to develop the negative. Sometimes he keeps us in a dark room. Sometimes he keeps us hidden. Sometimes he keeps us behind the scenes until he can develop us till we're ready to be displayed. Now some of us who are old enough to remember that transition time when Polaroid came out with the Instamatic camera. And there you would snap a picture and a little thing would come out the bottom of the camera and you couldn't see anything immediately. It was just white. You like, what? You shake it. There you go. See, Brother Curry, Minister Curry know a little something about you shake it and then you might be able to see a finger or a toe. You see stuff start to come into view and you shaking it. See, sometimes God has to shake us up. Sometimes he has to knock us off our foundation because we standing on the wrong foundation. See, we've been climbing the ladder of success and we get to the top and find out the ladder was leaned up against the wrong wall. Sometimes he has to shake us so we can fall and realize we were heading in the wrong direction. It don't matter if you going 95 north and you cruising along at 75 miles an hour, if you trying to get to Jacksonville, Florida, you going the wrong way. He has to U-turn us sometimes in order to get us to our destination so that we can fulfill our purpose, so that when the fruit develops, the demands that he places on us are ready to be displayed. Then we can have an impact. As you inspect the fruit, ask yourself, what difference am I making? If you're not making a difference in somebody else's life, if you are a ministry instead of ministering, you know, some of us here in the church, we're supposed to be a minister. We're supposed to be serving, but we look up, if we do a close self-examination, a sober self-assessment, we'll find out that we're a ministry. We need all the help. We always need to be tended to. We always, pastor this, pastor that, I need this. Pastor on vacation right now and can't get rest. Because they blowing his phone up. You're supposed to be ministering and you become a ministry. Everybody got to tend to you. Here it is, living on borrowed time. He said, leave it alone this year. Don't cut it down yet. Let me dung it. Let me develop it. Let me fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then cut it off. Cut it down. Get rid of it. It's taking up good real estate. The landowner would have rather planted a new tree that was going to come up in three more years and bear fruit than fool around with this tree here that hadn't done anything. I would surmise, as I look in my sanctified imagination, that there's some folk that we might even know of that have gone on to a premature death because they came to Christ, they gave their lives to Christ, but they weren't bearing fruit. They turned back. They didn't fulfill their purpose. And because of that, God had to lay them in a box to display them before he could get glory out of their lives. See, you know what happens at the funeral, right? Folk come out deceased, the dead, they come out to bid them a final farewell, even though it's just a shell there. But one thing usually happens is a man of God gets up and preaches the gospel. And because of that death, folk who normally wouldn't set foot in a church are here. And God is able to use that to get glory. He gets fruit out of their lives because folk come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of that death. Don't be that one that God has to take you to a premature. Paul said it. Paul said it over in 1 Corinthians 11. Some are sick among you and some even sleep. Why? Because they didn't examine themselves. We need to do a sober self-assessment. We need to do an inspection of our purpose and not let the master be infuriated because of our not fulfilling the purpose. And as mama did for me, as grandmama did for me, they were interceding. Some of us can intercede. We all have a purpose. We need to know what our purpose is. Your purpose is between you and God. And sometimes God will reveal your purpose to other people. Sometimes people see gifts, talents, abilities in us better than we can see in ourselves. So the people of God tell you, as you find yourself doing things that you're naturally drawn to, things that come natural to you, use those gifts for the glory of God. God don't want you to come to him, be converted, and then lose who you are. I know some folk that just have natural, bubbly personalities. They're funny and witty. God can use that humor. He might be calling you to be an encourager when others are downtrodden and heavy-hearted, just to make them laugh or smile, to lift the burden. God only knows. Some of you have a proclivity just to serve. Don't want to be seen. Like to be in the background just to be a help. Do that unto the glory of God. Whatever it is, don't be that one to miss the fulfillment of your purpose. You've been planted for a purpose, and we are all living on borrowed time. We're all living on borrowed time. The next moment's not promised to us. God only knows. We can step out this door and step into eternity. If you're here today, I'm getting ready to close. If you are here today and you cannot say with 100% assurity that God is my Father, Christ is my Savior, and heaven is my home, then you need to be converted. You need to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't care how long you've been a church member. I don't care how long your name's been on the rolls. I don't care how long you've been coming to church. If there's a doubt in your mind that if you died in the next moment that you would not go to heaven, you need to be converted. We're going to extend an invitation to you. We're going to extend an invitation to you that you would come. Give me your hand, but give God your heart. Amen. Give God your heart. Come and be converted. Or maybe you've been converted. Maybe you say, yeah, Pastor, I prayed the sinner's prayer years ago, and I know that I'm going to heaven, but I haven't been bearing any fruit. My tree has been barren, and I'm afraid I'm living on borrowed time. You may need to be reconnected. Come and rededicate your life. Get connected so that you can live out your purpose. That's what God is calling for us today. Maybe you're here and you say, I've been connected. I've been converted. I'm new in town. I'm looking for a church home, a place where I can be planted with a purpose and serve and minister as God has called me to. We extend that invitation to you. Those are the invitations we invite to you. Let's stand on our feet. We're going to give an invitation on him. God is calling you for a purpose.